The Ryan Tubridy Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. With our broadband, your world is limitless. Live beyond.
A very, very good morning to you. It is Friday, the 2nd of August, 2019. This is the Ryan Tubridy Show with me, Maggie Doyle. Our text number is 51551. Our email, ryan@rte.ie. All modes of communication now open if you want to get in touch with us. Lots to get through in the papers today. Last week, you might remember that I mentioned Rochester Cathedral in Kent, where I used to actually live. Before I moved back home. And Rochester Cathedral had opened up their main cathedral to people of all walks of life because they basically wanted to get more people in the doors. And they put in a little crazy golf course. And there was people, you know, complaining that it was, it was dumbing down the religious aspect of this beautiful cathedral, etc. Well, inside the Daily Telegraph, another cathedral has done similar, but on a bit more of a wow scale. Norwich Cathedral has been accused of treating God like a tourist attraction after it installed a 55-foot helter-skelter in the nave to give visitors a better view of its ornate ceiling. The Reverend Canon Andy Bryant said the idea came to him when he was visiting the Sistine Chapel. He says the fun comes in the shape of a helter-skelter, the serious comes in creating opportunities for reflective, God-shaped conversations. It's playful in its intent, but also profoundly missional. And it's £2 for a ride on the Norwich Cathedral helter-skelter. It looks fantastic, I have to say. I mean, it looks slightly out of place because you've got the beautiful stained glass windows behind this helter-skelter. But there's loads of people going down. And obviously, once you get to the top, you can have a good view of the ceiling and then slide your way down to the bottom. So, you know, it's kind of one of those novelty aspects, I suppose, but trying to get people into places like this with a bit of a serious undertone to it. God, fun, novelty events at cathedrals is the little headline inside the Telegraph, talking about Rochester Cathedral, also mentioning that in May, Liverpool Cathedral held the Museum of the Moon, involving a 23-foot replica of the moon to celebrate 50 years since the Apollo 11 moon landing. I suppose these are beautiful, beautiful, very large buildings that can take these sort of, you know, things. You can put any sort of thing inside a cathedral if you wanted to, I guess. And when we mentioned about Rochester Cathedral last week, we had somebody got in touch with us from Talla, from St Mary's Priory Church in Talla. And they said that we do a lot of this. We do a lot of fun things. We run loads of these kind of things to get people inside. And they have a big fun day, they were reminding us, on the 31st of August. So that's something to look forward to, I suppose, if that's in your neighbourhood. Now, Beyoncé is getting into trouble. Did I say the 2nd of August? I did at the beginning. I've just had a note from Siobhan to say it's the 9th of August. It's not the 2nd, it's the 9th of August. But it is Friday and it's still 2019. So we've got 2 out of 3. Beyoncé's getting in trouble because she's got this diet plan that you can now sign up to for a fee of about $14. It's a 22-day diet plan and it's to access plant-based recipes. Now, she went on a bit of a diet following her twins. After she had gave birth to the twins, her comeback performance was going to be at the 2018 Coachella Festival. And there was a whole documentary that followed her on her journey to getting back to full fitness and preparing for this huge big show that she did. The documentary was Homecoming and I watched it. It was actually fascinating because the hard work that she actually put into it was unbelievable. But because she lost so much weight and got so fit so quickly, the recipes now that she's been using, people want to, you know, get involved, I suppose. So you can subscribe to her recipes and see how you get on with it. And basically, she released a video on her YouTube channel last month, which opens with a clip of the documentary showing her stepping onto some scales and saying her weight is every woman's nightmare. She said in the documentary that to reach her goals, she was limiting herself to no bread, no carbs, no sugar, no dairy, no meat, no fish, no alcohol. And I'm hungry, she said at the end of that. Any wonder. She followed the plan for 44 days. And there's a lot of nutritionists now coming out and saying, look, you know, I'm not too sure about this. One in particular who's quoted in the BBC, and his name is Daniel O'Shaughnessy. And he basically questions its nutritional values because he said one of the recipes, a veg sandwich, contains just 1 ounce of protein, And it's just not good. Another, a green smoothie, contained 8 teaspoons of sugar. So from one extreme to the next. And the recommendations, of course, are 2,500 calories a day for men. That's what we should be having. And 2,000 calories for women. Whereas this diet, Beyonce's diet, supplies just 1,400 calories. So you might be hungry if you sign up to it. Who will the next Bond be? Daniel Craig is filming, of course, his last Bond as we speak. And Cillian Murphy from These Shores has suggested that it should be a woman because he's trying to dumb down rumours about himself being put into the pot for the potential next James Bond. The Peaky Blinders star in the Irish Daily Star today has ruled himself out of the race to be the next 007 by saying directors would be right to cast a woman in the lead role. He said, the thing about it is, if you say anything about Bond, it becomes the headline. Naomi Harris, who plays Miss Moneypenny in the Bond movies, said that Cillian Murphy would be a good Bond. So he's trying to dumb down the rumours and say it should be Jane Bond. Not James, it should be Jane. There you go. I'm not too sure if he didn't actually mention any names of who could be Jane Bond. But, you know, I'd quite see Cillian actually as James Bond. I think he'd look quite well in the tux. Peaky Blinders will be back soon as well. That'll be something to look forward to. Mentioning food there with Beyonce's diet. If you're not on a crack diet, and if, like me, you like a bit of cheese, you might be interested in this. This is inside a whole page dedicated to this inside the Daily Telegraph today. And it's about a new, Instagram craze. And it's called cheeseboarding. And it's basically putting up pictures of the cheese board that you've put together, combined with the hashtag cheeseboarding. But it's not just any old cheese board anymore. It's not a big wedge of cheddar and a chunk of Stilton and whatever else you might want on there and a few crackers and grapes. This is art, guys. This is real, real art. And if you're anywhere near social media, if you just put in hashtag cheeseboarding, you'll see what I mean. I mean, it's Sistine Chapel-esque, these cheese boards. They're unbelievable. It's a great piece written by Helen Chandler Wilde. She investigates how to make the perfect board. I'll just read out a little bit. She said, long gone are the days when a few hunks of Stilton, Brie and Camembert topped off with a few grapes and slices of Membrillo, sounds fancy, raises a murmur from appreciative house guests. These days, it's not a cheese board unless you're displaying your bounty like a 16th century still life. The cheese should be surrounded by dripping of honeycomb, a tumble of pistachios, pretzels, popcorn, artichoke hearts, leaving a slug's trail of olive oil, peppy pink slices of grapefruit, and for some odd reason, some orchids as well. And I'm telling you, these look absolutely incredible. Cheese Boards of Instagram has got something like 100,000 followers. Take a look and you will be astounded and also quite jealous. Tom's been in touch from Rosslare Harbour. Good morning to you, Tom. Hope Rosslare Harbour is nice and sunny down there this morning. He says, hi, Maggie. I love the idea of the helter skelter. It's like a quote from the Vicar of Dibley. Who says you can't mix faith and fun? Quite right. 5155 on the text. You can email ryan@rte.ie. There's great pictures of Gwyneth Paltrow on holidays inside the Irish Daily Mail this morning. And it's Gwyneth with her husband, Brad Falchuk, but also her ex-husband and his partner. So during their divorce, they promised they were consciously uncoupling. You will not forget that phrase, of course, that they came out with, which all of the rest of us went, what? What are you talking about? But it seems Gwyneth Paltrow and Chris Martin, him of Coldplay, of course, just can't help coming back together. The 46-year-old actress took her producer husband, Brad Falchuk, 48, for a day at the beach while on holiday at the Hamptons. They were joined by the Coldplay singer, 42, and his 29-year-old girlfriend, Dakota Johnson, who's also an actress. The four looked happy and relaxed as they holidayed together. Indeed, they did. Maybe that's the way to do divorces and breakups. Get friendly with the ex and make sure you all go on holidays together. Not too sure about that, to be honest. Women in the tech industry face staggering sexism. It's unbelievable, actually, that it's 2019 and we've been talking about this sort of stuff for decades now, and yet in the last number of years, we've been talking about it very seriously and just, you know, this sort of stuff has got to stop. This report saying that sexism is a rampant problem in the tech industry. A study conducted by CW Jobs, a recruiter in the industry, found that women are regularly subjected to backhanded compliments and uncomfortable encounters while being overlooked and losing out to men during promotion opportunities. From the more than 500 women surveyed, 50% claimed they had been told that being a woman would hold them back in their career. While 1 in 4 women felt they were denied promotions, others reported hearing from men in the tech sector that they were too pretty to be in the same field as them. If you're a man that has said that to a woman, hang your head in shame and apologise, because that is just absolutely ridiculous. I cannot believe that a man in 2019 would actually say that to a colleague that you're working with. Inside the Times. This is a great story about a film that I loved, but I wonder, was it just of its time? Four Weddings and a Funeral has had a bit of a remake, a US television adaptation of the classic romantic comedy Four Weddings and a Funeral. You'll remember, of course, Hugh Grant with the big floppy hair and Andy McDowell. And it was just a great movie. There were laughs, there were tears, there was romance, there was rainfall. It had everything. And of course, set at the backdrop of London. Well, the updated version replaces Charles, Carrie and Scarlett with an entirely new cast of characters, four American university friends who are reunited as expats in London. It has been trashed by the American critics. They really do not like it. Eviscerated amid complaints that it portrays British women as catty and classist. Richard Curtis, now, of course, he wrote the 1994 version of the film. I can't believe that was in 1994. He's listed as an exec producer of it, but the reboot appears to have retained little of the original's charm or wit. The Washington Post's critic said the excruciatingly flat dialogue and annoyingly dull cast left him longing to see more funerals. Ouch, 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 ouch. And there's a picture there of the scene. It looks a bit glossy. It looks a bit glossy and they're all wearing tuxes and drinking champagne. Maybe Four Weddings and a Funeral belongs in 1994. Now, we're going to take a song. Would you believe that talking about this from 1994, definitely maybe the iconic Oasis album is actually 25 years old this week, which makes me feel incredibly old. So because of that, we're going to play this. It's Supersonic and Oasis.